Welcome to the Weekly Brew, presented by the MSC Reporter. Here's your host, Kevin Corbell.
Welcome to the Weekly Brew, presented by the MSC Reporter. I'm your host, Kevin Corbell, alongside my co-host, Jacob Reinhart.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Jake, welcome to the show. If you listened to our first episode of the show, you guys may have noticed Jake was not on the show. Jake will be our co-host looking forward in the show. Jake, if you want to tell the crowd a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, so, you know, I'm Jake. I'm a junior here at MSU. I'm studying marketing with a minor in mass media. Some things I enjoy doing in my free time include, you know, being with friends, playing sports, watching sports, and doing anything outside. So that's about it.
You hear it here first, folks. Jake loves sports. Again, my name is Kevin Corbell, your host. If you didn't look at my first pod, go straight to msureport.com and listen to that. We talked about my love for the WWE as a kid, talked about what's going on around the landscape of sports, and we talked about how the Mavericks are crushing it right now in sports. Before we briefly go into Maverick sports and pro sports, we start out with our little segment in the morning. Today, me and Jake will briefly talk about Maverick sports and what's going on in pro sports right now. We'll also be talking about the NFL, what's going on with Ezekiel Elliott, and how the Vikings will be looking going into this week against the Washington Redskins. But that's not the only topic we'll be talking about on the show. We'll be talking about that and many more. Jake, what are you sipping on this morning?
I got that good old H2O from Hy-Vee, you know, that just a little taste of that gets me up in the morning, just roll out of bed, take a little sip, next thing you know, I could run three marathons.
Oh, three marathons, that's pretty big.
Yes, it is.
Today, I'm sipping on, it's called a Vanilla Harvest Blend. It's from Einstein's Bagels up in the CSU. If you have not visited there, please go visit there now. They have great coffee, great bagels. I also have a banana that I've been eating this morning. I got dealt with one banana. On to the second banana, which I'll be eating after the show. So if you're interested, come on to the MSU Report and watch me eat that. It's kind of weird.
Yeah.
We're going to go to our first round of sports. We're going to go to Maverick Sports. So let's go to peeking around the bush. Bush. So, peeking around the bush to Maverick Sports. So, first off, we're going to go to football. So, football right now. Last week, they're off of a big win against, not a super big win. This is only Wayne State. They defeated Wayne State 48-27 here at the Blake. They were tied at 27-27 apiece at one point of the game. I believe it was going into the fourth quarter. I don't know if, Jake, did you see the game?
I did not.
Okay, I was busy that day, too. I forgot what I was doing. It was a Saturday. Yeah, I went home last week, duh. So I was working on the farm back in Lonsdale, Minnesota. Shout out to my parents down there. They probably don't listen to the show at all. They don't know how to use a computer. But anyway, so MSU football. So going into this week, they're going to face off against a really tough Sioux Falls team. They are only one loss in the whole year. So good luck to MSU football. Keep their number one overall seed against Sioux Falls. Sioux Falls is a very tough team, so hopefully MSU doesn't take them light like they almost did against Wayne State. I talked to one of the video coordinators the other day. Since Wayne State's not that good of a team, 27-27 in the third quarter was really something Todd Hoffner didn't like to see. So right after the game, he made the whole team run 20 crushers down and back throughout the field. So
That's just good coaching, Kevin.
Yeah, definitely a game that should have been done right from the get-go. I mean, I don't know if you knew this either, Jake. Wayne State was down to their fourth-string quarterback.
Oh, really?
In on offense.
Wow.
I don't know what
a game Maverick should have blown out then.
Yeah, I don't know if Anthony Barr keeps sacking those quarterbacks every game or something like that. Wayne State has a quarterback dilemma right now, and he played pretty good for a first-string quarterback.
I mean, he put up 27 points.
Yeah, so MSU football needs to really rev it up against a really tough Sioux Falls team to keep their number one overall seed headed into playoffs coming up. We'll go to next, women's soccer.
It's a soccer horn.
I know what it is.
Women's soccer. And that's it for MSU soccer. Now, we got Jake here now with what's going on in men's hockey right now.
Men's hockey. Well, men's hockey is ranked 10th in the nation, actually, in the latest Division I poll. So the Mavericks are definitely making a jump. I believe they ranked 13th last week, so that's a pretty good climb, especially considering in their play last weekend, their series last weekend against Northern Michigan, they split the series. So just to improve in the rankings means a lot for this team. Today, they will start play at Bemidji State. Bemidji State's not terribly great. Weren't they
pretty good last year? I can't
remember. Last year they were pretty good, yeah. This year they're middle of the pack. Mavericks are tied for first place in WCHA with Bowling Green.
Okay.
So two wins here would definitely mean a lot for the Maverick hockey team. And a special note, yesterday the Mavericks actually added 5 more players to their squad for next season by signing National Signing Day. So congrats to all those future Mavs. And
any notables from that, do you know?
Any notables? I mean, they're all pretty good. They're all junior players. A couple of them from places like War Road.
Okay.
You know, from the cities for sure.
All right.
And I believe one of them is actually from Germany. So
the German boys.
Yeah, keep an eye out for that. But on the other side of the ice, we got the women's hockey team. Women's hockey is doing all right. You know, not too bad. Last weekend, they played against the University of Minnesota, and they ended up losing both of those games. So Minnesota is a really good opponent. So we should take those scores with a grain of salt. You know, because that's the number one team basically every year.
I believe they're facing Ohio State coming up, aren't they?
That's correct. Yeah, today they're actually in Columbus, Ohio.
Okay.
Yeah, and, you know, for the next 3 weeks, the Mavericks hockey team is actually going to be on the road. You know, this weekend they're in Columbus, Ohio. Next weekend they're in Duluth. And then over Thanksgiving break, they travel to Washington, D.C. for 2 games against Boston University and Northeastern.
When will they be in UMD? Do you know?
UMD? Yeah. Next, that'll be on the November 17th and November 18th.
November 18th. I believe I will be making a trip up to UMD.
Oh, that'll be exciting.
Because I got a buddy up there. He's celebrating his birthday that weekend. So.
Yeah,
maybe I'll take him out for a girls' hockey game. I'm sure he'll really like that, you know.
But. Absolutely.
Nah, just kidding. That's just a joke because not a lot of people will watch women's hockey. Right. I mean, I wouldn't mind watching a women's hockey game.
Right.
I love our women's hockey team. Shout out to the women's hockey team.
Yeah. But,
I'm just saying from stats that not a lot of people go to the hockey games, and I'd love if people went to the hockey games.
Yeah, definitely support the Mavs. Their next home game is actually December 1st, and they'll be playing the Minnesota Whitecaps.
Yeah, I'm telling you, they're one of those teams, like, you look at their record, and it's just like, they're not doing that good.
The record's 2-7-1 right now, and you wouldn't think it's too great, but... Yeah,
but a lot of those were one-goal losses, and...
Yeah, they've had a pretty tough schedule the last 3 weeks, playing Wisconsin, St. Cloud, and the University of Minnesota.
Yeah,
so...
Hopefully, these next couple of games, they can pick it up.
Absolutely.
Get some pucks in the net, maybe block a shot or two, and keep on chugging moving forward.
Absolutely. Going along with the letter of intent day yesterday, they actually signed 6 yesterday.
Okay.
For the next season as well. A few of those coming from the cities, Illinois, I believe, and a few other places.
Okay.
So a lot of new faces coming to the Mavericks, so it should be a very exciting time for both men's and women's hockey teams.
Okay. So hopefully our recruiting base will keep the women's hockey team looking good moving forward because right now they seem to need all the players that can get right now, especially the way they're playing right now.
And with these being ranked nationally, you know, week after week, that's amazing for recruiting. You know, that increases their exposure to players who may not, you know, initially be considering them. So. You know, to keep up this level of success that they've been having and have had in the past would, you know, is really great.
Yeah. And like you mentioned, too, so how we faced, you know, St. Cloud, the U of M. We're going to be facing Ohio State this next week.
Yeah, they're playing really good opponents.
Yeah, so very attractive team for any recruit to go. I'm not just saying that because I go to MSU or anything like that. I'm just saying that, like, if you're looking for a team that, like, you know, needs help right now, I feel like as a recruit, I'd really consider the MSU going as a recruit because all the opportunity you get.
Yeah, especially if you're a men's player, you know, you can easily make that leap into the NHL, you know.
Right.
There's many, many former Mavs playing in the NHL right now. So, you know, if that's your dream, that's absolutely, you know, this university could support you that way.
Yeah. So what's going on in men's basketball?
On basketball, today they start their season. As you may know, the NCAA basketball season begins today. The Mavericks also begin their season. They play, the men's team will be playing in the MIAA, or the Mid-American Athletic Association.
Nice, nice.
With it's a conference challenge, actually, with them. Mm. So they're in down in Pittsburgh, Kansas. They're playing Pittsburgh State today, so a home game for them. Okay. So hopefully we can, you know, rattle the cage a little bit and come away with a big win.
Do you know what Pittsburgh State's nickname is, by any chance? It's okay if you don't, because
I don't.
Pittsburgh State is a team I could really care less about.
But, right. yeah, I didn't even know there was a Pittsburgh in
Kansas.
So, yeah. I mean, that just speaks how little...
No, I definitely heard of Pittsburgh State because there's a wide receiver for the Arizona Cardinals, John Brown.
Oh, yeah?
He got drafted out of Pittsburgh State in the NFL. So that's the only way I know Pittsburgh State. But again, I thought that was in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Absolutely,
I had no idea that was in Pittsburgh, Kansas. But
right.
And they're D2, I believe, too.
Yeah, they are. I don't know. In their their mascot's the Gorillas.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
The Pittsburgh Gorillas?
Yep. Pittsburgh State Gorillas. So
that should be pretty cool to, like, walk around in a costume.
Right. And, yeah, I don't know if that's in tribute to Harambe or anything, but, hey, you know, they got that going for them.
Yeah, so shout out to all the gorillas out there.
Yeah.
I feel like a gorilla right now with all the bananas I've been eating recently.
But, yeah, with the Mavericks, they got 8 new faces on the team this season, a lot from last year. They've lost multiple double-digit scoring players. And so they're looking for Charlie Brown to really step it up this year, senior captain.
Charlie Brown.
Yeah. I've actually had him in a few of my classes. I couldn't believe it because his name's Charlie Brown.
Yeah.
Come on, Charlie Brown. I'll hold the ball and you kick it.
But yeah, so they're looking for him to step it up. The Mavericks men's team, their home and opener will be on November 25th here at the Taylor Center. Prior to coming home from, you know, their away games, you know, next week they will be traveling to, I believe it's Rohnert Park.
That's Rohnert Park.
Yeah, it's out in California. That'll be next Friday and Saturday, and they'll be playing the...
sunny California.
Yeah, sunny California where it's not 20 degrees.
Yeah, right now it's 19 degrees, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, if you're listening right now.
So, yeah, they'll be playing Dominican and Fresno Pacific out there. So it should be a good game. Tomorrow, as I mentioned, in Pittsburgh, Kansas, they'll be playing Missouri Southern State.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of good teams in the MIA, it seems. You know, you got Missouri Southern, you got Pittsburgh State, you got Missouri Northwestern. Joey White has transferred to. He was on the Mavericks last year, and he ended up transferring to them.
Joey White is.
Yeah.
See, he must be pretty good.
Yeah, he averaged about 14 points a game, 6 rebounds, and about 3 assists per game. So he was really good. He was...
It's decent.
Yeah, he's entering his junior year, I believe, so...
I did better in back in the Holy Cross days when I went to Catholic school, but...
Oh, yeah?
You know, not show off or anything.
But... Right. Yeah, I fouled out too many times in my leagues. But on the women's side here, the women's... They did not lose too many players from last season, only 3. But those 3 that they did lose were key contributors to their scoring. You know, so it won't be too bad of a loss because they still have good players on the team. Not too much turnover where they need to regroup, kind of like the men's team. Everyone knows the system, and they brought in a lot of new faces as well. So it should be a good good women's team as well. But speaking of women's basketball, I just want to give a shout-out to my cousin, Brooklyn Paulson from Holman, Wisconsin. She signed to go to the University of St. Mary's in Minnesota yesterday after after being offered by University of Wisconsin-Madison, University of Iowa, among other Division I teams. She ended up choosing Division III.
What high school is she from?
She's from Holman, Wisconsin.
Holman, Wisconsin. Is that, yeah. Is that where you're from, too?
No, I'm from St. Peter, Minnesota.
Oh, wait, no, duh. I think I did.
Yeah. But, yeah, so she's entering her senior year at Holman this year, already having scored over 1,000 points. So
decent.
So, yeah, I just want to give a shout-out to her and congratulations and all the best at St. Mary's.
Yeah, congratulations to her. And hopefully she continues her great basketball journey. As we continue on our journey, now let's go to the mat. Let's go to men's wrestling.
The Mavericks are set to compete at Luther College for the first wrestling open of the year. The wrestling team will travel to Decorah, Iowa Saturday to take part in the Luther College Open. The Luther College Open will be the second open tournament the Mavericks will compete in as many weeks to begin their season. Minnesota State placed 8 wrestlers at the last year's edition of the tournament. Matthew Blom will take to the mat for the first time this season in Iowa, who is a sophomore at 197. Blom finished the season last year as an All-American, compiling a 28-11 record and finishing 8th at the NCAA Championships. Blom will return to the Luther Open to defend his first place finish from 2016. Corey Abernathy, senior at 184 pounds, will begin his senior year campaign in Iowa Saturday. Abernathy went 4-1 at the Luther College Open last season and finished 3rd in his weight class. The All-American and Iowa native finished 8th at the D2 Championships last season and will look to start out the 2017-2018 season strong. And then last, you got Derek Herman, who is a redshirt freshman at 174, Logan Salto, sophomore at 149, and Zach Johnston, a sophomore at 165. They all placed at the Open Tournament in Iowa last year. To follow the Minnesota State wrestling team at the Luther College Open, please go to msumavericks.com, and there will be a link to follow the Open.
All right, so let's see what's brewing in pro sports. Yeah. So before we kind of dive into everything, I just want to talk about the ESPN 30 for 30 I saw on Wednesday. If you guys didn't see it, I'll give you a clue about who it was about.
Yeah, and 30 produces really good documentaries, so you definitely want to check it out if you haven't seen it. I know they have the replays on their Watch ESPN app and everything as well.
Yeah, they have a lot of my favorite documentaries on there.
Yeah, I think one of my favorite 30 for 30s was the U of my University of Miami, how they invented that, swagger and
that,
stuff.
That two-part series?
Yeah.
Isn't that it? Okay. The U, it's all about the U, it's all about the U, it's all about the U, you say it. Yeah, I'm trying to think of, there's a lot of good ones.
Yeah. I have about like 50, 60 episodes, so.
I like the one with the Boston Red Sox, how they came back, and they talked about like how much they hated the Yankees and everything like that. Everything going into that.
That Game 7 where Shilling's bloody sock and everything.
Yeah, that ALCS alone, that was like the playoffs right there. Like that was the World Series, being the Yankees.
Yeah.
In that series, it's just like all of a sudden, like nobody thinks about like how they swept the Cardinals because like
that's who they played.
Yeah, that's who they played in the World Series.
Oh my God, I didn't even know that.
So it's just sorry for the Cardinals. I mean,
right?
They're just on the wrong side of history.
You know, as a Yankees fan, you got to take the good and the bad. You know,
you're a Yankees fan?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So
I went to a game at Yankee Stadium during Jeter's last season. Really? Actually, yeah, it was in August. It was one of his last games, and let me tell you, that place was electric. Yeah. You know, I had no dog in the race prior to that game. They were playing the Texas Rangers.
Okay. Yeah.
And man, let me tell you, I even was getting emotional. I didn't even was a huge Jeter fan until I went there. It just really gets to you. And I've been a fan ever since.
Yeah. I mean, I hate the Yankees with a passion because I hate how
they spend.
The Aaron, the Alex Rodriguez thing,
The PED use, or like the PED use signing him?
And then, oh, just a whole bunch of things going to it. Like how they have 27 champs. It's like the Green Bay Packers, you know?
I like that too.
Okay, but it's just like everybody brags about how many championships they have, but it's like you think back to history, it's just right. Like, okay, way back when, there's only like 4 or 6 teams. It's just like,
yeah.
Anybody back in the day had a really good shot at winning.
Yeah, I like comparing the Yankees kind of like the Montreal Canadiens. You know, they were like an original 9 member, and they racked up most of their championships pretty early when there wasn't 32 teams.
Yeah.
You know, so.
No, it's great. But, going, not to go too off topic here now. Yeah. Let's talk about what we've been meaning to talk about this whole time.
Woo!
Don't spoil it. It's okay. If you don't know what Jake's talking about, 30 for 30 that was on Wednesday was about the wheeling, dealing, eyebrow raising, jet flying, limousine riding with Ric Flair back on Wednesday. He's a pro wrestler, spent numerous stints in the WCW and the WWE, but that's the least you need to know about Ric Flair before watching this documentary.
The things I know most about Ric Flair actually are after his retirement, you know, all the crazy stories and everything.
Yeah. Me growing up as a WWE fan, this is a very special documentary for me to watch. I didn't go too crazy into watching WWE for Ric Flair's age. I didn't start watching like WCW. I didn't watch countless hours of wrestling. There's a lot I didn't know before watching this documentary that I wish I did know leading up to it. Looking at his life and his career, he was one of the greatest pro wrestlers ever. At the beginning of the documentary, they talked about when he grew up. He was actually out of Eagan, Minnesota, believe it or not.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, his family adopted him. His parents couldn't have kids, so they ended up adopting Ric Flair, actually. That's his actual name. His ring name is Ric Flair. When he started wrestling, they gave him the name Ric Flair because, you know, it kind of pops out, you know, Ric Flair, you know.
The flair and pizzazz personality.
Definitely. That's the main reason he got the last name Flair. He attended the University of Minnesota on a football scholarship. Then he later dropped out of school and pursued pro wrestling. In the documentary, they went into like how difficult it was, you know, reaching the pro wrestling stage. The Nature Boy, he had a very interesting life, not only in wrestling, but in general. One part of the documentary that absolutely caught me off guard was how much he drank and partied throughout his career. So he went to a sports psychologist and told him that he'd been drinking 10 beers and 5 mixed drinks every day. Keep in mind, this was in 1989. He'd been doing that every day since 1972.
Yeah, one of the stories I heard about that was someone asked him how it was that he would party every day, and he would say, well, you know, I have 2 beers while I'm driving to work. I start with some martinis while I'm at work. Then I go out and party after work, you know? So he definitely had a system down to do that.
Yeah, so it didn't matter if he was in Wichita, Kansas. Didn't matter if he was in Los Angeles, California.
I don't know if you heard this story either. He was at a bar one night, and he ended up buying 137 shots for the entire bar.
They actually talk about that in the documentary, and that's just crazy. It's just like,
on that number?
Exactly. It's just, why 130, you know? And why
there wasn't 137 people in the place either. It's kind of empty, to be honest.
Yeah. It's just, they talk about how there's only 10 people in the bar at that time, and he just spent money on 130 shots. You know why? Because he could. Because he was Ric Flair, and he had a bunch of money, of course, from, you know, wrestling every day for WCW. He worked 24/7. Like he worked every.
Well, when he wasn't partying.
When he wasn't partying, he wrestled for an hour, go out, find a couple ladies, go in their limo.
Yeah, and do you hear that? Yeah. He said he had sex with 10,000.
Yeah, 10,000 ladies, ladies and gentlemen.
That math adds up to one lady for every day for 27 years.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That's wild.
10,000.
So much work.
That's almost, I'd say, 3/4 of Minnesota State University, I'd say.
Yeah.
Because I'm not sure. I think
MSU's got about 15,000.
15,000? Okay, so
15,000 to 17,000.
About 2/3, which still, it's just, that's just weird.
That's astronomical.
And it's almost, it's just insane. Like, why would you want to be with that many women? I don't know.
Yeah, that's so much work, too.
And like, believe it or not, like, if you've never seen the documentary and you listen to the show,
right,
and you're wondering, well,
definitely check it out.
Definitely check it out. And if you're wondering why he was with so many women, well, keep in mind he was also married at the time too. So
right, did he not, have five wives?
They had mentioned three of them in the show, but I'm not sure on the number. But definitely a person you should stay away from if you're a lady back at home.
Right, you won't have to worry too much now because he's getting older.
Yeah, he's the special age of 69 right now, ladies. Right. So,
hello, lady.
Nice.
Yeah, but so go check out the documentary. Definitely something I'd watch if I were somebody that's into that type of stuff, or you're into drama, you're into
just a good story, really. It's
just a great story all around. Definitely because he's a Minnesota boy too.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyways, so that's it for the WWE side of my day. Even though I am a, I guess I'm a side WWE fan still. Still trying to stay away from the sport since it's really disappointed me over the last couple of years. But
I've seen they kind of went PG these days. Yeah,
but enough about that. We're just going to go to the NBA.
Okay.
The NBA. So Timberwolves are ranked in the most recent NBA power rankings on ESPN.com. They are number 4.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
See, I don't read ESPN because of their feud with Barstool.
Oh, really?
So I banned them because I'm a huge Stoolie. If any of you guys are Stoolies out there, you're with me on this.
Yeah. I read both. Right. In my personal opinion, Barstool can go a little bit more over the edge sometimes. They still have that segment on ESPN, by the way, for Barstool?
No, they actually...
Did they take that away?
Yeah, they canceled Barstool's show after one episode.
After one episode?
And
you what?
Their contract went until March.
Really?
Yeah, because... basically because of Sam Ponder, basically.
I didn't hear...
Christian Ponder's wife, you may remember.
Okay, so... I might have to read more about that.
Yeah, I definitely go online and check it out. There's a lot of details. I don't want to misquote them or give you wrong information.
Because,
so definitely check it out.
Yeah, because I heard Barstool was on ESPN. I didn't think there were anything, you know, like bad from it or anything like that.
Yeah, when they were on ESPN, they actually were the number one most watched show that day. And they're,
you know, ESPN does need the ratings.
Yeah, especially since their viewership is down 15%.
Exactly.
Compared to last year.
Well,
last year's was already down, and now they have to lay off another 100 employees.
Yeah, definitely.
And, Barstool's time slot was 1 a.m. Eastern, you know, midnight Central. And they still produce the most viewers.
Maybe we should get on Barstool.
We should. Yeah. You know, I've been trying.
You've been trying.
Yeah.
we gotta please the audience first, of the MSU reporter first before we do anything like that.
We'll forget about you guys.
Yeah, but anyway, going back to the Timberwolves, the other night they got completely embarrassed by Durantless Golden State Warriors by the score of 125-101.
They were in that game for a while too there.
Yeah.
Up until about halftime or middle of the third quarter.
Halftime they were only done by 1 point. They were only down 51-50.
Yeah, it looked very even up to halftime, but I don't know what was said in the locker room that, you know, kind of...
I don't know what was in the coffee.
Changed.
I don't know.
Right. I don't know what changed the demeanor of the Warriors or what, you know, tampered the demeanor of the Timberwolves, but something obviously went awry.
But nevertheless, again, a really tough team to beat, whether or not they have Durant on their team, because as everybody knows, they're already really good before Durant even came on their team, and ever since Durant went to them, you could almost argue at the beginning when he was with them last year that he almost made him worse.
Right.
People argued that Durant, they got Durant only to take him away from the Thunder, you know, because the Thunder have been giving him troubles those couple years with him and Westbrook. But still a very tough team.
Right, and if the Timberwolves want to be considered a serious contender, they have to win these games if they're in them close, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, this was a very winnable game. I mean, they were down 1 point at halftime, you know, especially with the acquisitions of Jimmy Butler and Jeff Teague, you know, and all the projections of the Timberwolves being, you know, like a sixth seed in the West come playoff time. These are the games that they need to win if they can.
Yeah, definitely, because this is a very young team yet. They have a very high ceiling looking forward, but again...
the ceiling is the roof.
Yeah, they are the bar right now. Well... The Warriors are the bar right now.
Yeah. They're not there yet, but they need to make these, you know, they need to progress because...
I'm very excited myself. Coming into this year, I mean, with the acquisition of Jimmy Butler, obviously it jumps out the page for a lot of people, especially for what we trade away from him. I believe that.
Yeah, Mirotić, I think that was his name.
No. Zach LaVine.
No, talking about that draft pick.
Oh, uh-huh.
Lauri Markkanen.
Markkanen.
Yeah. He's lighting it up out there.
Yeah. So
I think he's averaging a double double.
Oh really?
Yeah. You know, he got no fight with Bobby Portis over there.
Oh yeah, that's.
Hey buddy, you want to go?
Yeah, I want to go. Let's go.
All right, let's go out.
Going on a date?
Yeah, come on, let's go on a date.
Do you want kids?
But yeah, he's doing really good. But I just feel like it's the same old Timberwolves. You know, we thought this when Ricky Rubio came, and we had Nikola Pekovic. You know, and other guys like that. You know. We thought they would, you know, progress. We thought they'd progress in a, you know, maybe a playoff team. But every year we were just like, maybe they can do it this year, you know. But we got Jimmy Butler. He's at least a top 10 player in the league. You know, there's no more excuses anymore because we got Karl Anthony Towns. We got Andrew Wiggins. You know, we got legitimate scores. We just got to get it done.
Yeah, especially.
Especially with Hoiberg, you know, he can play defense.
Hoiberg.
Oh, not Hoiberg.
I forgot. Hoiberg.
Hoiberg's in Chicago.
Yeah, he's coaching right now.
Right. Yeah.
Do not think that Hoiberg is still a member of the Timberwolves.
No. Although he did play for them.
Yeah. Although he did, but he's not.
Right. But yeah, I just feel like, you know, this year, next year's gotta be the year. You know, the Timberwolves gotta step
make
up.
Make the leap. Yeah.
Yeah.
Nevertheless, I'm still very excited to watch this team play. They've definitely shown flash this year of their talent. Yet they have, of course, a lot more grooming to do, especially on defensive end of the floor.
Absolutely.
Jimmy Butler, he missed a couple of games throughout the week with an undisclosed sickness. In my opinion, must have had cat scratch fever. Okay, but to quickly close out the NBA, so...
Before we get there, Kevin, let me tell you my surprise team of the year.
Who's that?
The Milwaukee Bucks.
Ooh, you suck!
The Milwaukee Bucks.
They just traded for Eric Bledsoe.
Yep.
From the Phoenix Suns. They already got Giannis Antetokounmpo, can't say it.
Antetokounmpo. I'm just going to say Giannis for now.
Yeah, you could say Giannis or the Greek Freak, but it's Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Yeah.
And they got Chris Middleton, who is a lesser-known player, but providing great points. They got Matthew Dellavedova, Deli. You know, people forget he won a ring.
That is true.
You know, so Milwaukee's been looking great this year. Giannis is leading the league in scoring, you know, and he can play all five positions. So definitely watch out for the Milwaukee Bucks. Yeah. I mean, they only lost to the Cleveland Cavaliers by, I think it was at least 5 points they were within with the final.
Yeah.
So they can definitely, you know, make a run. You know, they're definitely better than the Bulls last year, and the Bulls made it into the playoffs, so watch out for them.
Yeah, so definitely Giannis is my pick right now for the MVP.
Absolutely. My MVP is probably Giannis, too.
Yeah.
Although it'll probably go to one of the players on the Warriors or the NBA champion, you know.
LeBron James.
Yeah, LeBron James, Steph Curry.
Probably not Russell Westbrook this year.
Yeah, probably not Westbrook since they added Carmelo and Paul George. Probably not Harden.
What?
Since they added Chris Paul and the Houston Rockets team's doing really well. So, yeah, I think it just boils down to three so far. You know, maybe it won't be Isaiah Thomas, won't be Gordon Hayward. Maybe a surprise pick, Kristaps Porzingis. You know, what he's doing for New York right now.
He is a dark horse right now.
Yeah, the unicorn. So he's doing really well out there right now. You know, he's learned a lot from Melo, and he's finally getting his opportunity to shine.
Yeah, so good luck to all those players out there. Timberwolves will play tonight against the Suns at 8 p.m. as they make a business trip to the desert. So good luck to the Timberwolves moving forward, and screw the Bucks.
No.
Moving on to the NHL. Minnesota Wild won last night against the Montreal Canadiens 3-0, thanks to a hat trick by number 16 Jason Zucker. Devin Dubnyk was equally great out there after having 41 saves on the night and recording the shutout for the Wild. So good job, Devin Dubnyk. Zucker had scored 2 goals Wednesday against the Maple Leafs in a 4-2 loss. So the last couple of games, he has scored a total of 5 games throughout the last couple of games. So he is looking hot, looking into the next game. The Wild improved their record to 6-7-2 on the year. Again, not a great start to the year, but it's definitely a team that's struggling. Definitely the loss of Zach Parise was very tough after having surgery on his back. Definitely a huge piece of that team. Hopefully he comes back stronger than ever. I'm not sure. I think he's out for the year, I believe. Hopefully he comes back to full recovery because Zach Parise is one of the key players on our team.
Yep, top goal scorer in the league.
He was top goal scorer in the league, and then he came to the Wild, and he is still a 30. He's still a 30-goal man.
He still puts up goals, but he's been doing it more with assists lately, so that's great.
Yeah, so hopefully Coach Boudreau, hopefully he coaches his men to for somebody to replace Parise down there in Minnesota, because somebody needs to do it. And it looks like Jason Zucker is stepping into that role. Hopefully he makes the leap. Whenever I watch him, he always jumps off the page with how flashy he is, scoring goals and everything like
fast.
That. But again, always it's been injuries for him. Hopefully he can not sustain any more injuries moving forward into the year.
And I know we got a lot of Canadian students on campus, so if you're a Montreal Canadian fan, don't be too bummed out. Carey Price didn't play last game. He's suffering from a mild lower body injury. So, don't be too disappointed that the Wild beat him 3-0.
Yeah.
But they'll be back in contention out east pretty soon.
So don't be too disappointed, but be disappointed, because I'm a Wild fan, and I hope you eat dirt.
Right. I'm just a hockey fan in general, So I love good games and seeing the guys out there,
Yeah, definitely.
I enjoy watching the Wild. I enjoy watching Washington Capitals, seeing red. All that good stuff.
Canadians, again, a team like the Yankees, like the Green Bay Packers. Like
one of the original six?
Again, one of the original six, you'd say, in the sport industry. Again, they always brag about all their titles. It's like, again, you're the only team that was in the NHL at that time.
Yeah.
But nobody says that.
NHL is a little different, though, with Boston, Chicago, New York in it, too,
Yeah.
They all equally have a lot of
big fan bases. All around too, except if you're in New York and you're an Islanders fan.
Yeah, the Islanders aren't the greatest, but they have been better. They still got.
I like the Rangers.
Yeah.
And the Islanders, they have the.
John Tavares.
Yeah, Tavares. He's doing really good.
Yeah, he's good. And then the rest of their team's really young. I believe the Islanders still actually have Cal Clutterbuck.
Cal Clutterbuck. Yeah, that's a throwback name.
Yeah.
I always remember the. Huge stash he had for every game, too. And also how he just destroyed people.
Yeah, he was a heavy hitter.
Yeah. He goes along with... Who is that one NHL player that passed away?
Derek Bogard?
Derek Bogard, yeah. The boogeyman. I always remember that. He was a scary fellow, too, whenever he'd come out of the box. And now that, for us, that's Chris Stewart, obviously. And he's one of our leading goal scorers on the year, believe it or not. Okay, the Wild take a trip to Philadelphia, play the Flyers on Saturday night. As they look to get back on the 500 mark. Hopefully they look good moving forward. Let's move on to the MLB. Not too much news to talk about after the Astros won the World Series, except for 2-time Cy Young Award winner and 8-time All-Star, Roy Halladay. Surprisingly passed away at the age of 40 the other night. The former player crashed a plane he was a pilot of into the Gulf of Mexico on Tuesday. Growing up, I was a huge fan of Doc Halladay, both for his years in the Blue Jays system and also with Philadelphia Phillies.
Yeah, I believe he helped the Phillies get a World Series ring.
Yeah,
there with Ryan Howard. Yeah, their roster that year, was some memorable names. Ryan Howard, Roy Halladay, Shane Victorino, the Flying Hawaiian, Jimmy Rollins, Chase Utley, who was on the Dodgers team this year, Carlos Ruiz. Just sad news all around.
Yeah, definitely. Roy Halladay, again, passed very too soon.
Right.
I said that weird, but
everyone that's come out to talk about his passing has said it didn't matter what team they played for, that he was one of the the best guys on the field in his performances, mm-hmm. but also just one of the funnest guys to be around as well. You know, very connectable person, you know, relatable and things like that. So very sad news for the world of baseball. Yeah,
definitely. They always describe him, too, as a 5 a.m. worker. He'd I forgot who was talking, but it was a former Philadelphia Phillies player and how they try to, I think it was Brad Lidge, I believe.
Yeah.
And he'd be there at 8 a.m. For his workouts for Brad Lidge would be anyway. And as he'd walk in, Roy Halladay would be walking out. Roy Halladay is just that type of guy. He was a very hard worker. He'd try to get better at everything he did. He was one of the few, actually, to win a Cy Young on both the American League and the National League. He won a World Series for the Philadelphia Phillies, as Jake mentioned back in the day. Yeah, rest in peace. And
Only pitcher in playoff history to throw a no-hitter.
Yeah, so sad news in the world of baseball. Moving on to the NFL. Thursday Night Football last night.
Color Rush.
It's Color Rush Thursday. A bukkake of color, my guy's so... The Seattle Seahawks with their... bright lime green jerseys defeated the Arizona Cardinals.
I don't like them. They look like a walking traffic cone.
Well, the Seahawks,
their Color Rush jerseys.
That's just kind of a preview of what the Timberwolves jerseys will be looking like pretty soon.
Oh, Lord.
I'm not sure when those will come out, but not too excited for those. But
right.
Anyway, so they defeated the Arizona Cardinals, who were all in black.
Without Carson Palmer.
Without Carson Palmer and with Adrian Peterson. 22-16 over in Phoenix. During the game, the Seahawks corner, Richard Sherman, ruptured his Achilles, putting him on injury reserve for the rest of the year. He now joins a long list of players out on IR for big names anyway. That includes Odell Beckham Jr., Deshaun Watson, Dalvin Cook, Andrew Luck, and many, many more. Oh, I can't believe I forgot to mention him, J.J. Watt.
Obviously. Oh, J.J. Watt is always injured, yeah. Though, you know?
I forgot to mention him because he's just
I forget he still plays in games because it's been so long since I've seen him.
Right.
I mean, every time I hear about him, it's like, oh, he's injured. Oh, he's rehabbing. You know, he'll post those workout videos on Instagram.
Yeah.
He'll come out with a article in the Players Tribune saying, no way I'm retiring after this injury. I'm coming back, baby.
Yeah, definitely. J.J. Watt, he's one of my favorite players to watch in the league because not only because of all the sacks he gets for the Texans defense, but also his effect on the community, especially after Hurricane Harvey over in Texas. After raising over $15 million in relief funds. Or maybe it was higher than that.
No, it was about 30 or 40, 30, actually.
Okay.
His goal started out with $1
million. Yeah. No, wasn't it like $500,000?
Yeah,
like
it started small.
Yeah, so he's a good guy all around, man. He's a hard worker in the weight room. He's a person that a young kid can look up to growing up.
Especially from Wisconsin, you know. Yeah. Very relatable for all of you.
But we don't talk about that in Minnesota.
Right. But let me tell you my surprise team of the year this year, Kev.
Wait. Well, we'll go on to quickly how the Vikings are doing.
Skull Vikings, let's win this game. Skull Vikings, honor your name.
I'm a Packers fan.
Vikings, so 6-2 going up against Washington on Sunday. Coming off on a bye, which was at a pretty good time for the team, actually. Not because of the long needed rest, but because, ladies and gentlemen, Teddy Two Gloves is back. He's back and will only dress for the team.
For now. Hopefully he'll be a starter.
A little underwhelming, again. But, ladies and gentlemen, don't forget, he's not played football in over 440 days. So,
I think that's over two seasons.
Yeah. So
2014 was the last time.
Yeah, so a little underwhelming. But Case Keenum, for the moment, is looking great.
Another Houston product.
Yeah. And last week I predicted that the Vikings would steamroll the Redskins. I want to quickly change my prediction for the game. Last week, I said the Vikes would win this game, but after seeing what the Redskins have done versus the Rams and the Seahawks, definitely scaring me going into this game. I feel like these teams are both evenly matched.
The game's in Minneapolis?
No, the game's in Washington.
Alright, well, luck's going to be on the Vikings side because the Redskins, they're not very good at home.
Yeah, so
a lot of these games that you mentioned versus the Seahawks and the Rams have been on the road.
Been on the road. Again, a Redskins team that's looking a lot better from last couple of weeks, especially after losses to like the Chiefs. Yeah, but anyway, I think even with what Jake Ruland said with the Skins not doing as well at home, I think we lose a tough one on the road. 17-13 against the Skins. That's my bold prediction. Again, I love the Vikings. I love them with a passion. If I learned anything about being a Vikings fan, is that never be too optimistic about how they're doing. I know Jake is probably over there with a smirk right now, but I can honestly say that we're probably going to win the NFC North this year, so screw you. No. Again, there's that glimmer of hope for all those Packer fans out there that Aaron Rodgers is coming back, but I'm telling you that if he comes back, we will injure him again.
No, not a chance.
I hope we do. Anyway, so 17-13, I think we lose against Redskins on the road. Again, Vikings very good on the year. Top five defense. They've only allowed one team to score more than 20 points on the year. And that's the Pittsburgh Steelers. That back in week 2 or 3, I can't remember.
One of them.
There's 3. It's one of those weeks. But yeah. So again, I think it was a tough one. I just think Case Keenum may have trouble against the Redskins defense as Josh Norman, and I think that because of that, I think we'll be struggling this game. I hope we don't. I hope that I'm wrong. But again, I've never been that wrong that much about the Vikings this year. So yeah, 17-13. Recent news came out yesterday that Ezekiel Elliott is now out for at least the next 4 games, possibly 6 games. This comes after the judge finally put in the motion to give a suspension to the Cowboys. Ezekiel, I believe, will he try to appeal or can he?
Yeah, he already has. Put in his request for appeal.
Okay, and so as of right now, he is not the starting running back for the Cowboys coming into this weekend.
Looks like it'll be
Alfred Morris.
Yeah, and then they also have
Darren McFadden.
Yep.
He's actually the number 3 running back on the depth chart right now. And mm-hmm. Rage's point, I picked up Darren McFadden in fantasy a couple weeks ago. I'm like, oh, he's going to be the starting running back. Right. But
and who the Cowboys play this week?
I'm not sure.
I was listening to an interesting conversation yesterday with one of the Sharks from Vegas who creates the betting lines. They were saying that even with Ezekiel Elliott out, that won't change the line too much.
Yeah.
Because Ezekiel Elliott's only worth 1 point.
Yeah.
And I believe they're 3-point underdogs.
Yeah.
As it is.
And I definitely think that Ezekiel Elliott is a very dynamic player. Mm-hmm. Unquestionably, you can look at. You don't even have to look at fantasy for that. I mean, he scores 20 points a game in fantasy wise if you talk from that perspective. But I mean, if you look at Dallas, they have a great quarterback. They have Dak Prescott. They have a great old line, and they have a pretty underrated defense coming into this year. A lot of people thought that the Cowboys would have a really mediocre defense, especially
with the loss of Morris Claiborne.
Yeah, Morris Claiborne. They didn't have Randy Gregory because of the way he acts is very idiotic and getting suspended once again. They had countless suspensions, but DeMarcus Lawrence has been emerging for that team. They have Sean Lee, who hasn't been hurt so far this year yet, and he's been making all the tackles for that team. He's been a leader. Definitely Zeke will hurt when they're in close games. He's a heavy hitter that they can lean their head on.
And the passing attack and running attack, too.
Yeah. I think they go to 7 or 8 man in the box, usually on defense. And definitely the play-action pass was something that the defense would bite on. Not saying that Alfred Morris can't produce still with Darren McFadden also. And I think Rod Smith is the 4th running back on that team. I don't know. They keep saying that he's pretty good. But it doesn't really matter if you're a 4-string running back. But yeah, looking ahead for the Cowboys, it looks like they will suffer without Ezekiel Elliott. I don't think that they'll be Super Bowl contenders anymore, in my opinion. I do believe that they will still win a wild card out of this. That's my prediction. Definitely a big loss for that team. Okay, so I'm going to go to my weekly power rankings, looking at the NFL. I started out at number 10. I picked the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Yes, that's what I want. That's my sleeper of the year.
Yeah.
And if none of you know, they call it Saxonville on that defense.
Yeah.
That defense can produce, baby.
Yeah. Yeah, baby. Yeah.
Yeah.
I read a statistic yesterday where Jacksonville Jaguars defense, and their offense, when they are in close games at the end, they run the ball the most, and their passing defense is the most efficient in terms of stopping opponents when they're leading by 10 points. In the final quarter. But when they're losing by 10 points, their defense is mediocre, and they're the 25th best offense.
Yeah.
So something to watch is if they're up or down and entering the fourth quarter, for sure. But Blake Bortles, member of the Wikipedia Club, he's doing great things out there, you know?
The Wikipedia Club, what do you mean by that?
So that's another Barstool thing. So they got Blake Bortles and Big Cat and PFT, and they'll just come, and they don't want to read books, you know?
Really?
You know, I wouldn't want to read a book. So they get together, and they select a topic, and then they just read the Wikipedia page, and it's kind of like self-teaching, you know? And
I got it.
Like teach back.
All right.
They'll just explain what they shared learned.
So it sounds like a typical MSU student around here.
Yeah.
Looking at the Wikipedia page.
Yeah, you know, and I think Blake Bortles went to the University of Central Florida, so
They're doing pretty good, by the way, this year in college football, UCF.
The Knights?
Yeah, they're actually undefeated this year, believe it or not. So,
yeah.
Blake Bortles, he's been up and down this year.
Yeah, and don't forget about Leonard Fournette.
Yeah, Leonard Fournette.
You know, he's a beast.
Yeah, he's a beast, but I'm in a dynasty league right now with my older brother. And he was very disappointed to hear that he couldn't start him last week because of his idiotic stupidity and not showing up for
team pictures.
For team pictures and not showing up for his injury evaluation. He should be back on the field this week. I think they won last week, didn't they? The Jaguars?
Yep.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, I mean, the Jaguars haven't won this many games since about 2005 with Fred Taylor in the backfield. So yeah. It's been a while, you know. And
it's been a while.
Yeah,
you can't compare them to the Browns anymore either. Yeah,
definitely not, Jeff. Especially since Cleveland's lost 25 of the last 26 games going into this year. Not going good in Cleveland, but going really good in Jacksonville, especially with Tom Coughlin having ownership and having good draft picks over there in Jacksonville. So Jacksonville number 10. Number nine. I would have him higher in this list, but since the injury of Richard Sherman and Earl Thomas have been very detrimental to the team, and even though they won last night in Thursday Night Football, I still had to put the Seattle Seahawks number 9.
Right.
Russell Wilson, he's a very dynamic player. Yep. Did you see that play last night?
Yeah, when he was scrambling around.
Yeah, he looked like Houdini out there. Throwing the ball to Doug Baldwin. Almost got a touchdown on the play.
I believe he was down at the 2 or 3 yard line. He got pushed out at.
If you don't know what we're talking about, so Russell Wilson was scrambling to his left. And he was getting chased by two Arizona Cardinals defenders, and he did a couple spin moves to get out of the pocket, and he eventually threw the ball off his back foot.
Almost threw it blindly, too. Had no idea, looking at receivers, just looking at the defenders coming at him.
It was literally one of the luckiest throws I've ever seen.
Right.
It was like an Aaron Rodgers type throw type times.
At the sideline, too. And Doug Baldwin was able to create some separation, and the Cardinals defender ended up
great catch
on
by
the
Doug
play.
Baldwin too. And that's pretty because I
and great
the
run.
Yeah, the defender fell down on the play too.
Yeah, so. I believe that was like a 40-yard pickup on that play.
Yeah,
you can't underestimate the impact of Eddie Lacy on that offense.
Underestimate?
Yeah, you can't underestimate him.
Okay.
He's
beast mode. I like to call him.
Yeah,
but
Beast Mode Part 2.
he's been doing a lot of lobbying the last couple of years. Did he do pretty good last night?
I have no idea. Probably not. But hey, he's a former Packer, so you gotta cheer for someone named Cheeseburger Eddie once in a while.
Shake. I got the shakes that'll make you quake. I got the fries that'll cross your eyes. Mm-hmm. I got the burgers that'll. I just got burgers.
Okay. Mr. Packer fan over here. Why am I doing a podcast with a Packer fan when I'm a Minnesota fan?
That's character too, you know?
Yeah, but Seattle Seahawks number 9. Number 8, Dallas Cowboys. Again, Ezekiel Elliott, he's out. I still believe that this team is a really good team looking forward. Dak Prescott, he still has Dez Bryant. He still has Beasley. He still has a lot of dynamic players on that team. He has a good O-line. Defense is looking good, looking ahead. So Dallas Cowboys are number 8. Number 7, I got the St. Louis Rams. The LA Rams. LA Rams. Wow, what a story for this team.
They're contenders, not pretenders, that's for sure.
Yeah, definitely.
Jared Goff.
This year, every team that did bad last year is looking good this year, and every team that looked good last year is...
Well, I won't go that far. I mean, Browns haven't won yet.
Yeah, Browns aren't technically an NFL team anymore.
Right.
they're pretty much
they should be relegated.
I basically call them the NFL Europe team of the NFL. Anyway, so LA Rams, so they're the number one offense in the NFL. Coach McVay has coached up Jared Goff very well.
Yeah, Goff's really good too, and then they're
Goff, who looked like a bust going into this year. I didn't believe it all that he was that good of a quarterback coming out of the draft.
Right. They let him make his mistakes to a certain extent, but if he makes too many, they pull him out.
Yeah. Jared Goff, definitely one of the surprises of this year. I'll be mentioning him later in the show, and you'll find out.
They have a really good receiver, too, who went to the University of Southern California.
Southern California. So USC. Robert Woods.
Robert Woods. Yeah. That's my man.
Yeah. Robert Woods. They haven't used him that much. Sammy Watkins, he's still a dynamic player. They have Todd Gurley. And their defense is really good, too. They have Aaron Donald. They have his last name's Johnson. I can't remember his first name. But he's a very good corner
for that team. Young.
Yeah, very young corner. He's a Darrelle Revis type player. Believe it or not, he's very shut down.
But won't be begging for the money.
Yeah, he'll be begging for the money. Don't get us wrong. So, number 7, the LA Rams. Number 6, we got Kansas City Chiefs with Andy Reid. Kansas City Chiefs, they were very dynamic coming out of the year. They were undefeated until week 6, I believe. I can't remember. So, Alex Smith, he's had a really great year for the team. Kareem Hunt, he's been kind of underwhelming the last couple of weeks, especially for me who has him in fantasy. He's been slowly going downhill, kind of scares a guy. They're on the bye this week. Kareem Hunt, he's the leader to be the rookie of the year this year, especially because I believe he's still the leading rushing yards right now. I had to double check my stats there. But Chiefs with that dynamic offense and a defense that's not doing the best job, but still with Marcus Peters, Justin Houston, all those players doing really good for that team.
Yeah, and the Chiefs have lost, looks like, 3 of the last 4. So I think going in this bye week, we may see implementation of Patrick Mahomes, the 11th overall pick, becoming more common. They already said that they would not pick up Alex Smith's option for next year. They're looking to use him as a trade piece. So don't be surprised to see Patrick Mahomes start making his way into the game in the fourth quarter.
So last week after losing to Dallas Cowboys, who, again, are a really tough team, and people who are looking at this list are like, well, why do you have Chiefs in front of the Cowboys? I still think Cowboys are a great team, but I just think Ezekiel, again, adds that dynamic to that team. The Kansas City Chiefs, I still feel like they're a really good team, even though that Jake mentioned. And I slightly disagree. I still think Alex Smith will play out the rest of the year. I just think that Patrick Mahomes will see some snaps going into the rest of the year if Kansas City is still struggling. But again, I still think Kansas City is a really good team, and I still think they are credited with number 6 on this list. I was debating Rams or Chiefs at this spot, and I just believe that if the Rams and the Chiefs faced off in neither home or away or whatever, I think the Chiefs would have a better chance of winning the fight out. So I put the Chiefs at number 6. Number 5. Surprise number 5 for me. I wouldn't have expected into week 3 that I would have ever put him on the top 10 list. That is the New Orleans Saints, number 5. They're coming in hot after trading Adrian Peterson, the long-loved Vikings running back for many years. Alvin Kamara, Mark Ingram, along with Drew Brees and that dynamic offense. They are doing very well now. I think they've won 5 straight games, I believe. And they are looking very dangerous over in the NFC. I believe that they will win their division. I believe that they'll go find the playoffs.
I believe that they will lose this weekend at Buffalo because nobody circles the wagon like the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah. Buffalo Bills is actually a sleeper team this year.
Yeah. And it's 38 degrees in Buffalo, you know, outdoor stadium, Drew Brees. You know, getting older, you know, you never know when arthritis may kick up.
No, God! No, God, please, no! 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 No!
Hey, you know, that's the name of the game, and I think that, you know, their winning streak comes to an end this week in Buffalo, so I don't have them that high on my list, but, you know, I see why they're ranked so high.
Yeah, so New Orleans Saints, I believe, I still believe that they'll squeak out the victory against Buffalo. But again, it would not surprise me if Buffalo upsets them in this Week 10 matchup. Buffalo, if they do defeat the Saints, I think I'll sneak them into the top 10 going into next week. But For now, New Orleans Saints number 5. Number 4, your Minnesota Vikings.
Skol Vikings, let's win this game. Skol Vikings, honor your name.
Well, not Jake's Minnesota Vikings, but
not my team.
Number 4, the Minnesota Vikings. You can't say too much because since last week they're on the bye, obviously. But led by Case Keenum, well, I can't technically say led by Case Keenum.
Not for...
and I kind of laugh that we're kind of leading on Case
temporarily.
Keenum. Temporarily Case Keenum.
The third string option.
Yeah, the third string option for the team. Top 5 defense. I love their defense. Led by Anthony Barr, led by Linval Joseph. Just great defense all around.
Don't forget about Big Country.
Big Country, yeah.
Kyle Rudolph.
Well, that's on offense, Jake.
Yeah. But
anyway, so we got Stephon Diggs. We got Adam Thielen. We got a really great offense. We just got to figure out the QB spot. And if we figure out that, I feel like we're make a huge push in the playoffs. And do I dare say Super Bowl?
I don't think so. No team's ever gone to Super Bowl when it's in their home state.
Yeah, my personal opinion, I don't believe we'll get that far, but, I mean, I hope I'm wrong.
Yeah.
I just don't want to get too...
I think that pressure would be too much, you know, going into maybe, like, the divisional game.
Yeah.
You know, saying, well, we'd go home and play a home game for the Super Bowl, you know, it's very difficult to do, especially if you've got to play on the road.
We'll see in the weeks to come, but for now, the Minnesota Vikings number 4, number 3, the Pittsburgh Steelers, led by Big Ben.
Don't forget T.J. Watt on that defense.
T.J. Watt.
Rookie of the year.
And for the defensive category, he could be the Rookie of the Year. You can definitely tell from T.J. Watt that he has J.J. Watt's blood inside of him. That kind of came out weird, but anyway, so Antonio Brown. Big Ben, what else did they say? Pittsburgh at number 3. Number 2, New England Patriots. Don't want to talk too much about them. You know, Tom Brady. Now, they're not looking like the best team. But
we'll just say they're good.
Let's just say they're good.
They traded G-Wop, Jimmy Garoppolo.
Jimmy Garoppolo. Currently, they have backup again, Brian Hoyer.
Yep. Previously on the team. But just got signed for 3 years, I believe.
Yeah, so they'll probably be number 2, number 1 for like the next 80 years to come. So,
Well, at least until Belichick leaves.
Yeah, and he's immortal, so he'll be coaching the team.
I read a report that he may end up leaving after this season because he's getting tired of going through it all.
Well, until that day comes, we'll break it to you if that happens ever. But for now,
don't forget the addition of Marcellus Bennett either.
Martellus Bennett, but there's a recent report he actually could get put on IR.
Yeah, the reason he is cut by the Packers is that he failed to disclose an injury during contract negotiations, and he has a torn rotator cuff, which can be problematic for a player who is expected to block, you know, very strong defensemen. And
he's a very big player. He's about 280 pounds. He's a tight end.
Yeah, and
are you kidding me?
He's going up against people like that, you know, with the outside linebackers and stuff, you know. So a torn rotator cuff is not ideal. You know,
I don't understand. I don't understand if that's the case why he didn't want to give it up, but again, it's this. I don't really care because I'm not a Packers fan.
Right.
But I'm really surprised throughout the year he didn't even do that well because that big of a guy not getting the ball, you know, he's kind of an easy target, you know.
Right. But, well, it just makes you wonder how long he's been injured and things like that.
But New England Patriots number 2. Number 1, the breakout team of the year is the Philadelphia Eagles. The Eagles, led by Carson Wentz. The North Dakota product, I like to call him. Carson Wentz, really good defense all around.
Yeah, the Eagles have their best record since 2004.
Yeah, so I love the addition of J.J. I think he adds another dynamic to that team. I would have never thought they would have been, I'd put him at number 1 on this list. But here we are today, 2017. Anything can happen. I mean, Donald Trump's president. We're fine. The Vikings are doing really good. So anything can happen in this league. So,
Aaron Rodgers got injured. LeBron almost got injured last night, too, and he rolled his ankle. I mean...
Yeah, so miracles happen, man.
Never say never, Justin Bieber once said.
Hey, I will never say never.
Okay, so, yeah, Philadelphia Eagles at number 1. Okay, so we're going to go to fantasy football news quick. Jake, you play fantasy football, right?
I don't. I actually got kicked out of my league prior to week 1, 2 days after the draft.
Can you Can you explain that?
Yeah, so I missed my draft due to the league commissioner not disclosing when it'd be due to, you know, schedules of everyone in the league.
Mm-hmm.
So I wasn't informed, so I wasn't able to make my picks. You know, when I saw my team, I wasn't too thrilled. You know, I had Tyrod Taylor, Marcus Mariota, and, you know, as a stoolie, I was like, I'm dropping these guys and picking up my man, Blake Bortles, and that's what I did. And, boy, I turned out to be right. And everyone ridiculed me and said, you know, it's never going to work. I mean, I started off 2-0 and not leading my team, you know. It was a ghost team. It was run over by the commissioner, but...
Then you got kicked?
Yeah, I got kicked for picking up Blake Bortles and trying to trade Mason Crosby, or trying to get Mason Crosby for Julio Jones. And Mason Crosby actually scored more points weeks 1, 2, 3, and 4 than Julio Jones, believe it or not.
But you're trying to trade a kicker. Whoa. That was a box that fell down.
Don't worry about that, guys. I'm okay.
That box crashed like the Green Bay Packers season a couple weeks ago.
It's not over yet. Just look at all their players in their history named Brett Uvatic's success, you know?
Oh, whatever.
So, yeah, I got kicked out of my league, you know? My motto going into fantasy football is I always try to take all the Packer players because they always prove to be the best option, you know?
Mm.
Just give me a little Aaron Rodgers with Jordy Nelson, I'll be happy. Well, but unfortunately, I wasn't able to execute trades. You know, I tried to trade my entire team for a guy like Randall Cobb, and fortunately, people got upset. And, you know, it still baffles me to this day why people would think I was trying to conspire against them or anything like that by giving away my entire team.
Well, but you were kind of wrong. Packers with Aaron Rodgers is definitely... wide receivers like Devontae Adams,
Jordan Aaron Rodgers is the most valuable quarterback in the league. Without them, team's nothing. Yeah. With them, Super Bowl contender. Super Bowl champion.
Okay. Let's not go that far. But anyway, so
he does have one ring.
Let's stick on fantasy. I'm in 4 leagues right now as we speak. I'm in a big dynasty league.
How many teams is that?
So, dynasty league, we have 10 teams. I'm in all standard leagues, so right now PPR doesn't really matter to me.
Right. I was in a league last year with 18 people, and boy, last year was bad for running backs getting injured.
Yeah, definitely.
And I believe I had to pick up, I think it was Matt Asiata at one point. He was averaging 0.3 points a game. And
yeah.
Let me tell you, keep your leagues below 12 if you can.
Yeah. So, I'm going to go to the start of the week, start of the week, and sleeper of the week in fantasy. My start of the week is, I mentioned before, when I was talking about the Rams, I talked again about Jared Goff. He is my start of the week against the Texans. Texans defense that's being hammered with injuries. J.J. Watt, definitely a big loss for them. Jared Goff, I believe, will capitalize on it, having the number one ranked offense in the league. Jared is poised to have a big game. Didn't think I'd say that last year, going into this year. But yeah, start of the week, Jared Goff. Sit of the week, Jake won't like this pick, but I picked Joey Nelson against the Bears. He hasn't been...
What?
He hasn't been the same ever since Mr. Rogers has been hurt for that team. He used to be very reliable for your team. He'd at least
when he wasn't injured.
Yeah. When Aaron Rodgers wasn't injured, he at least...
No, when Jordy wasn't injured too.
Yeah, okay, technically, yeah. So when Aaron Rodgers was playing... He'd at least guarantee you at least 11 or 12 points a game. But ever since Brent Hundley's been in the game, he's been barely a crack of 4 points each game. So Bears, kind of an underrated team for defense.
Oh, they got Mitchell Trubisky. My man.
Yeah.
I love him. He's got some great tweets from college. If you haven't seen him, you want to check him out.
Now, Jake, I'm unaware he's playing defense now for that team. But
Trubisky?
Yeah. I'm talking about their defense right now.
Oh, their defense. Their defense is okay. I think they got Stephen P.A.
Do they? I don't think
Yeah, in their line, I believe.
I think
it might be an offensive tackle, but you never know with that team. I mean, that team used to be, you know, really black and blue division, you know, with Urlacher, Briggs, you know, Peanut Williams. Or Peanut Tillman, Charles Tillman, you know, Matt Forte, Jay Cutler, Brandon Marshall, I mean, Orlando Pace, Julius Peppers, they used to be stellar.
Yeah.
But now, And now they're, you know, I'd probably compare them to the Indianapolis Colts. You know, all they kind of got is just a quarterback with a name, really.
Yeah. So,
but my sit-em for the week has got to be Jacoby Brissett for the Colts. He's going up against the Steelers. Let me tell you, T.J. Watt, University of Wisconsin product, he's going to have a field day with him. He's been averaging 6 tackles a game. He's lighting it up for that defense. Starting in place of James Harrison. I mean, that Steeler defense, they're getting back to what they used to be too, back when they were the Steel Curtain. So look out for the Steelers and definitely sit Jacoby Brissett.
Yeah, so you heard it here first. Joey Nelson, Jacoby Brissett, sit of the week. And my sleeper of the week, Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry might slip into the starting role this week with DeMarco Murray battling a bad knee injury.
Titans?
Yes, for the Titans.
Who did they play?
Tampa? I think it's Tampa. I'd have to double. No. Tampa's facing New York Jets. I have to double check my facts there, folks, who Derrick Henry's playing.
He's a power back. He's good. Definitely get him. Yeah. Look for him in goal line situations.
Yeah, so definitely if DeMarco Murray doesn't play, start Derrick Henry as quick as possible.
Yeah, my sleeper of the week, you're not going to believe me, Brett Hundley.
Come on.
When I say that, the Bears defense, not the best. Expect that one to be a low scoring game. Look out for Brett Hundley. This is his week to finally put it all together. Last week he ran for a touchdown. So we know that he's very versatile and mobile. And he's got something to prove. Like I said, that organization and the name Brett, they have a lot of success. So watch out.
I hope Jake's wrong for Vikings fans. I guess if Brett Hundley breaks out, I guess I'm wrong. But Brett Hundley, Derrick Henry, sleep of the week. And for our final segment of the show, we are going to play a game. It's called, you might have heard it from home. Ellen DeGeneres made the app. It's called...
Oh, she did?
Yeah, she definitely did.
Oh, wow. She's rolling in
it's,
it now.
It's all, she's almost Ellen too generous, you know?
But, right.
We're going to play...
First the Nemo movies, now apps? My goodness.
Yeah, so we're going to play Heads Up. And if you're not familiar with Heads Up, so...
not to be confused with Heads Up 7-Up.
Yeah. Heads Up is basically a game of charades. I have my iPhone here, and I have a deck of cards on the app. Oh, so they're fake cards, whatever. So anyway, we're doing a football round, and it'll have something describing football, whether it's a name, whether it's a team, player, whatever. Something football related. Yeah, we're just going to see how it goes. And I'm going to try to guess that team, player, or whatever. So, all right.
All right, here we go. All
right, so here we go. Okay, what we got?
Blackballed by the league.
Blackballed by the league? Tom Brady? What do you mean blackballed?
Go
another route. is he a player?
Yeah.
Okay, who's he play for?
Quarterback.
Quarterback.
No job.
No job. Oh, kneeling. Colin Kaepernick. Okay.
When you pass the ball forward.
Forward pass.
pass.
Okay. Okay.
The opposite of defense.
Offense.
Division rivals of the Green Bay Packers.
The Vikings. Bears. Lions. What was it?
The Bears.
Oh, okay.
Number 85. Change his name into Spanish.
Ocho Cinco.
Movie based on Tennessee Titans. Denzel Washington.
Oh,
Hayden Panettiere.
Remember the Titans.
Yeah. Kicker and...
Punter. Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, how many did we get? I think we got like...
You had punter right.
Okay.
That's time.
So, we got 6 on that one.
6 out of 7?
Yeah. So, hopefully we break our record next week.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's all we have for you today. I hope you guys enjoyed this production of the Weekly Brew. Make sure to find us on the MSUReporter.com, where we'll be putting our weekly podcasts on the website.
Subscribe, 5 stars.
Yeah.
Unsubscribe. Resubscribe, 5 more stars.
Yeah, 5 stars, smiley faces, cry faces, emojis, and all that. Hopefully you guys look on the site. We'll be looking maybe in the future to put it on Facebook. Maybe put some like, share, subscribe stuff for y'all if you guys are interested. So yeah, keep it real, guys. Kick it back and make sure you find the brew that's great for you.
Cheers.
Yep. Have a good day, y'all.